All right, shalom, 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 and welcome to Jah Radio, Chazak Eliyahu, in our weekly interview slot here on Wednesdays. Each Wednesday, we plan and hope, and this is the third Wednesday we are doing it, we come live with an interview with someone with a testimony, a life, or something that we believe may edify others, may inspire others, may bring more emunah to others, may give hope to others. And today, we are looking into I Thought I Was a God. So with me here is Shamarion from Little Rock, Arkansas. And she will be giving us her story. Shamarion, are you there?
Shalom, brother. I am here.
All right. Could you introduce yourself and tell us something about you, about Shamarion?
Yes, I can. So, shalom. My name is Shamarion. anxious and nervous. But so I've come into the spiritual walk. I went to church and everything as a little girl. So I've had some belief and walk in the faith. When I was younger, I just didn't understand it. And so as I became like a teenager, I would always have this big imagination to where, you know, I wanted to have superpowers. I wanted to be a mermaid. I wanted to be all these mythical things. And
Hold on. The big question, the operative question, why?
Why? So, I don't know if anybody has ever seen the movie Matilda.
You see movies.
But yes, I would see it in a movie. And and so I saw how, you know, she was unloved and, you know, she had this, she was born different and she had this power that she developed into that kind of gave her her own direction and her own strength. Mm. And in the end, she found some type of love and protection from another, caregiver. And so I wanted that in life. And so I was also always infatuated with the colors of mermaids.
Oh,
so,
before you
know,
go to colors, before you go to colors, why did you always want that in life? Why?
Because growing up, I didn't have much of a love. I always felt like, you know, I was the different one, to where I would get some love, but I would have to push harder for it. I didn't feel equally loved. And so, and I was always quiet and just kind of kept to myself. And I wanted to be brighter. I wanted to be wanted and longed and loved, you know, and cared for.
Mm.
And not just tolerated.
And people, those of us who are listening, that is why the Most High told us how to grow our children. He told us that we should let them learn the commandments. When we go in, when we come out, when we lie down, when we sit, when we stand up. And when they learn the commandments now, then they will come out of themselves. What happened there is someone who was not taught the commandments, and of course you're not different, 999,999 out of a million of us have gone through the same existence as you. But it is coming into the way now we get the understanding of these commandments. We should teach our children commandments so that they do not have these thoughts as Shamarion had. She wanted to be this. She wanted to be that. When we teach our children the commandment, it's not about us anymore. It's about Yahuwah. It's not what we want. It is what Yahuwah wants. All right, go ahead with the colors now.
Yes, and so like with the mermaids, they always had like these beautiful little shells on. It's like pastel colors. Some colors were bright, and they had like tails. So I was like, I want to learn how to swim so I could be a mermaid. And so it got to a point where.
Hold on again, dear Shavarion. You see, the importance of this again is with television and your children. Learn, people. You will hear us teaching here about how television is evil and that we must not have televisions in our homes. This is living testament. This child was there watching those things and her imagination was so active. She actually put herself in these made-up things, yeah? Wanted to be like them. So she was taken away from reality. So no Torah and TV spells an utter disaster. And worse things could have happened than had happened before to her. All right, go ahead, Shamarion.
And so when I was like 12, I decided to go fill up the bathtub with water. And
forgive me for laughing.
I was on the internet. No, you're fine. And so I was on the internet and I was looking up how to become a mermaid.
Serious?
And yes.
There is such thing on the internet though.
Yeah, so it's kind of like spell work, though.
Oh.
And so at the age of 12, I was like trying to figure out these different spells to turn myself into a mermaid.
Oh.
And it was just like, you know,
wow.
You'll feel this type of sensation whenever the scales are coming in and, you know, when your mind has elapsed into the thought of a mermaid.
Mm.
And I'm like, if I could just get this type of power, then maybe my mom would love me, or maybe I can go find, you know, a clan of mermaids that'll love me. So my imagination was highly active. And so after that didn't work, I just was like, you know what, I'm not loved, so I'm just going to self-harm myself.
You were going to do what?
And so I was going to self-harm, so I was going to overdose and take my life.
Wow. You see, the combination of no Torah and television. Go ahead.
And so I actually did act on it because I also didn't fit in at school as well. So I had like no friends. I had no love at home. And I just kind of felt isolated and alone.
Why do you think you did not fit in?
Because I wasn't, you know, cool enough for this group of children. I wasn't ratchet enough for this group of children. And I wasn't weird enough for this group of children that, like, you know, did the comic books. And, you know, some children wore high heels in middle school. So I didn't fit in with those. And I couldn't find my group of, you know, friends that I would fit in with. And so I was like, you know what?
You were set apart.
And I have no purpose.
You were set apart from then. It just hit you, innit?
It did.
So continue then. You said you acted upon it. You tried to take your life.
Yes. So I've attempted 3 times, and each time I was unsuccessful. But
what did you try? Let me hear.
So So the first time I climbed on top of a building that had like a ladder for the back part. Yes. And I was going to jump off, but I was like, I don't want my mom to have to, you know, piece together my face to identify me. So I climbed down. And plus, on top of that, I have a fear of heights, so I don't know. And so then the next one, I had cut my wrist.
Wow.
And that didn't work because I'm like, okay, I got scared. I can't tell you exactly why I was scared, but I just had a feeling that I didn't know where I was going to go.
Oh.
And so the third time I had overdosed on some pills that my mom had because she was showing favoritism.
Mm.
And so with that, I had to be admitted into a preteen asylum where I felt like I fitted in then.
Forgive me. You fitted into the preteen asylum. The first place you found that you fitted in.
The first place.
Oh boy.
So yes, I felt like I fitted in there until I started seeing this one girl that was in there for, you know, child abuse, and her grandfather touched her and he beat her.
Mm.
And so I'm like, I don't fit in here.
Mm.
So
you decided finally that no, I don't really fit in here.
Yes, and then they kept giving me medicine. And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with me. I just want love.
That's what you told them?
Yes. But they still made me take pills. Like, there was nowhere I could hide it in my mouth to where I did not have to take it, because they would always check.
Oh. Wow.
Yes.
So what about your parents then? What were they saying?
So my mom, she didn't really care. She didn't, because I tried to take her life that same day before I tried to take mine.
But you're serious?
Yes.
What did you do?
So I wasn't thinking clearly. So I poured acetone inside of her drink.
Serious?
So serious, but it melted the cup because the cup was styrofoam. So that's how she knew I put something in it.
Oh. What, Shamarion?
I know.
Wow. No, man, all of us are sinners. All of us have some wicked, sinful past. So there's nothing to be ashamed of, as long as it is your past. But it will edify people, yes, as to how far you're coming from and where you are now. All right. So, yes, so she didn't care because of that which you tried on her.
Yes, and just in general, because I felt like she always loved the firstborn more than she did the secondborn.
Oh, so how many of you she had?
Just two.
Oh, the first was boy or girl?
Girl. So she two girls.
Okay. And then what happened next?
And so once I got out, I went back in again for like a lie attempt.
A what?
So I basically, you know, so a lie attempt means I told my mom I was going to harm myself.
Oh.
And so she sent me right back.
Whoa.
And so it was at a point where I wanted to be there for 6 full months, but they wouldn't let me because they said it wasn't anything mentally wrong with me. I just kind of came in there with a lie saying that I tried this at home and my mom sent me back in.
And then?
And so then after that, I started to become a runaway. At the age of 15, 16.
Shamarian, you've done it all.
And so I have.
Yes, so you are a runaway at 15, 16. And continue.
And so I would always run away to my friend's house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her mom was a single mom. She had a firstborn who was a son. And then, you know, it was my friend who was the secondborn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always felt safe and loved when I would go to her house. And so that was like my escape route every time I would run away. And we went to the same school, so I would never miss school because I was always going. Mm. And so and so my friend, she ended up becoming pregnant. So I didn't want to intervene with, you know, her growth as a mom. And so I went back home. And so I ran away for about 3 months.
About how many?
3 months.
Okay.
And so my friend's mom always kept in communication with my mom. And so my mom seemed like it was okay as long as I was going to school.
Yeah.
And so it got to the point where I would reach out to my older brother who, you know, he constantly read and prayed. And I just was looking for a way out mentally. And so he would prophesy to me and read and pray with me, telling me I had a greater purpose in life and that I should seek the Most High. And I'm like, man, you're crazy.
Mm.
He don't even exist. I don't even know who that is. And so once again, as a child, my imagination, I used to watch the movie The Prince of Egypt.
Mm.
And I loved how Joseph would, you know, be obedient, and he found love in something that he couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part of my childhood always stuck with me, as well as like with the mermaid thing. So I was double-minded as a teenager and as a early age adult.
Mm.
So I didn't know which side to choose. And I ran away at the age of 17. I was raped by the person I ran away with.
Mm-mm.
And, you know, I see my fault in that because I should not have.
Mm.
And so after that, I was just on these dating sites, seeking love from men at a young age. And so I found this Edomite man that I formed a relationship with. I lied to him about my age. I told him I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started seeing him, and I ended up pregnant. And I didn't know who the baby dad was. And so I, you know, went through, you know, the trauma with him. He did drugs, and, you know, I could have fallen into the loop of it, but I just mostly smoked like weed. He did much harsher drugs.
Mm.
And he told me that he believed in the Most High, but he just wasn't too sure. So he was an atheist, and so was I. So I saw that as like an opportunity to kind of, that's my soulmate, you know?
Mm.
But a lot of things started to happen around that circle. And so when I gave birth to my daughter, she came out red hair, blue eyes. She was a mixed seed.
Mm.
And so I went through a lot of trouble during that pregnancy to where I was going to give her up for adoption because of all the stress. And so he was also suicidal at a time of his life as a teenager. So I felt like, you know, that's another reason why we were soulmates. And so it got too much being around him and his family and the things that they were doing that I wanted a way out.
So his family was doing drugs as well?
Yes, his family was born of incest. So the mom and dad are cousins.
Oh, what a life you have lived. Continue. Continue. What a life. What an eventful life. Continue.
Yes. And so when I was like 19, I moved back to North Little Rock. And, you know, my mom, she was unstable. So we were in and out of other people's houses. And it got to a point where I got tired of that. And I wanted the stability that he had. And so we had a court date for domestic violence. And it was August 2nd that the court date was due. But that Sunday, we had went to church and, you know, we were talking about how we would, you know, have this family, how we would change, how we would move back here because he lived from a small town to where everybody knew your business without you even knowing the person. And I didn't like that. And so,
but by the way,
we had.
What about the part about you thinking that you're a G.O.D.? We have reached there as yet?
So this actually increases my curiosity of my double-mindedness of who I was going to serve.
Okay.
And so after our court date that Tuesday, he committed suicide. And I found him.
Serious?
Yes.
Man.
So he hung himself.
And you found him?
I remember my mom always.
And you found him?
Yes, I found him.
Oh. Man, what a weight.
And yes. And so when I found him, I was curious, and I remember my mom telling me, when you die, the last thing to go is your hearing. And so I was just asking why, and I was always telling myself or questioning, like, when we die, where do we go? Because I've always heard, like, you know, when we die, we just kind of sit and mingle around in the desert, or we'll mingle around on a piece of earth that is just peaceful. And so from there, I just kind of cling to gospel music because I was always told, you know, when you want peace, you seek the Most High. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. I just wasn't praying and reading. I can't tell you if I ever opened up a Bible during that time. And so it was in 2018 when I had got this job. And it was my first job after being homeless and being in a shelter after my daughter's dad passed away. And so my boss there, he told me, you know, he didn't eat meat or anything. He was a vegetarian. And I was like, oh, okay, I like meat, so I can't do that. And so then that was when he was telling me he doesn't celebrate any holidays, any birthdays. Him and his wife, his mom's dad, they don't celebrate anything. And so I'm like, so when your children turn a certain age, you don't give them like a little cupcake? And he was like, no. And so I didn't think to question too much of why until one evening we had like a company conference to where he fixed like some vegan food. Mm-hmm. And he was like, my mom, she has a cookbook and it, you know, this is our, some of the recipes that she made inside of the book. And so I was like, I want that cookbook. And so the next day I brought him $20 for the cookbook. And his mom said that the Most High told her to give it to me for free.
Mm.
And so when I opened it, you know, I was never the most fluent reader when it came to cursive. But she had wrote a note in the beginning flap of it, and the cookbook was called Our Journey Toward Eden.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she was, you know, writing out the little notes, she ended it with the word shalom.
Mm.
And certain parts of the book, it had the Most High's real name, and it had, you know, the son's real name, but I wasn't acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just acknowledging the recipes. I just wanted the food, try the food.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was in the month of, I mean, in the year of 2020, after I had my son in February, it was when the 19 came out a month after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in total fear because I thought that the world was ending.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, I was on TikTok and I'm like, how are these people finding power? And I saw that some of them were, you know, saying it's going to be the mark of the beast coming out soon. And so I'm like, well, I got to find some quick before that come out.
You got to find what? Some and, power.
I got to find some power real quick.
So what's the idea of this power? What's the idea of this power now?
So the idea of the power was to get out of the toxic circle that I was in my marriage.
Hmm.
And to overthrow the government before they overthrow us as a people.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So what movie that came in again? Is that, what would you be then? What character is that?
So I wasn't too sure, honestly. Huh? Like, I wasn't too sure. I just remember seeing, you know that one movie that's called God's Not Dead?
No, I don't know that. You seen that?
Okay, well, it's a movie called God's Not Dead, and it shows like a split second of the rapture where some people are left behind and some people are taken up. And I'm like indecisive between if I want to be left on this earth or raptured up.
But you notice one thing that's consistent with you. You want to do everything according to your desire. You notice it?
Yes.
Everything you want to do. Okay. Do I want to be raptured? Oh, no. It's not about the Most High doing anything. It's about you deciding everything. Who told you that you have that power to decide whatever you want to do? Is that be all you can be?
I've seen a clip.
Yeah, go ahead.
Huh?
Is that be all you can be? All right, go ahead. Your time.
Yes, pretty much. So it was this one girl that I had seen on TikTok, and she was like, you are a goddess. You know, you are a god. You created life. You create life.
Mm.
Women create life. And so I'm like, okay. I did give birth twice.
Mm.
And so I got to the point where it was a part of the video where she was like, you know, you just have to tap into meditation. And I remember meditation because it was a subject in the shelter called mindfulness that we would get on the floor and it would be a certain frequency playing on the radio.
Yay.
And the teacher would be speaking positive affirmations.
Whoa.
And we would be sitting Indian style on the ground. And she would tell us to like clear our mind and clear our hearts of anything negative and just focus on her word.
Mm. So
and so
you see, people who are listening to this, you see, when you don't have Torah, if you had been reading the Torah and knew the Torah, people couldn't come to you with anything like that. But your mind is just there. Anything that comes, it can grab it. Anything that comes, they say, okay, I like this. I'll do this. When you have the Torah, which is the truth, Psalm 119:142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy Torah is the truth. If you had the truth, then you would not be so deceived. Anyway, continue.
Yes. And so when she was saying meditation, she was like, you have to unlock your chakras.
Oh, boy. That word.
And so...
Mm.
And so I started to write down what she was saying, and then she also mentioned doing shadow work to heal my inner self.
Doing what kind of work?
And
shadow
work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I never heard of that one. Shadow work to heal yourself.
Pretty deep. Yes, it's like healing the inner child. So like if you have like any traumas, they tell you to focus on that. Any fears, you write it down.
Mm.
And you forgive yourself.
You see
it? Help your inner child grow.
No forgiveness from the Most High. You forgive yourself. You are the gods. You have the power to forgive yourself. Yeah. Babylon system. Go ahead.
Yes. So as I started to do the chakra work, I would make it a daily and nightly routine to always focus on one chakra a day. And so they were saying, like, you know, when you do it, picture the color of the chakra that you want to work on. And it goes, the chakra colors goes based off the colors of the rainbow. And they were saying it's like I have to ground myself.
Mm-hmm.
And to become my higher self, become a higher being.
Mm.
And so as I was doing so, the Most High was showing me, like, on one side it was dark, and then on the other side there was light, and there was, like, a rope in the middle, and it was, like, a pool, a tug-of-war. And so... I couldn't hear you, brother.
Oh, a tug-of-war.
Yes, so it's kind of like when I was doing... when I was doing the chakra work, I was trying to clear out my mind to focus on healing my inner self. But at the same time, the Most High was like sending to the conscience of my mind a warning of what was happening. And so a couple days after that, I was sitting on the floor again trying to work on the next chakra. And I would feel like little tingles up my spine, and I would Google it, and they said when I felt that, it was working. I was opening my chakras correctly.
Man, to demons, to devils.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. You know that, by
and
the way.
One thing that I...
By the way, when I was in sin, you know that I tried that. I saw them advertising it. Those days in sin, in blindness and darkness. I saw them advertise it, and I said, let me do it. And I ordered a DVD it was. And I put on the DVD and sat down there with my legs crossed and trying to follow the thing. And I'm there for a while and nothing. I just put it down. I never touched it again. I never touched it again. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, and so the next day I had I want to say it was a dream. And so I was sitting on the floor in meditation style, and I saw this egg at the base of my spine. That's where the bottom chakra is.
Mm.
And this egg started to hatch open. And as it was hatching open, it was like a snake going up my spine.
Whoa.
And I'm getting chills. And so I still continued it, even though I had that dream. And so I was still continuing on in shadow work. And it got to the point where they told me crystals open up certain chakras as well. So I got to the point where I was, you know, researching different crystals and, you know, the energy source that it gives you and the power that it holds. So I was going to buy some, but there was something in me that said, don't.
Mm.
And so I didn't get any, but I did end up getting a evil eye necklace. And
yeah, boy. Man, you're working real hard, right? To get the powers of darkness. So,
I was.
So, how did you get to Yahuwah now? I've listened so much so, darkness. Let's hear some light.
So the way.
Yeah. Yes.
So the way that I got to Yahuwah was by this one dream that scared me to serve the Most High.
Mm.
And so in this dream, I was in this kind of like a campsite. I was on the bottom bunk. And there was a little girl that came in, and there was two big creatures with her. And so I could sense that the little girl was me, the younger version of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get up off the bed, and I can feel that there is something back behind me. I just don't know what it is, but I know it's bigger than me and it's dark. And so I was having a conversation with the little girl, and she was asking me why I wasn't persistent in serving her.
Mm.
And so it got to a point where I felt this hand around my neck from behind me. And whatever it was that was grabbing me, she was turning around to leave out. And so then in a split second, whatever it was had grabbed my throat and choked me to where it crushed my esophagus.
Mm.
And so I could feel exactly how it felt, like if it was actually broken. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. But I was reaching for her. And so she turned around and she had like this evil smile. So what I was seeing was myself, but something else back behind it, like deceiving me to be my younger self. And so I only knew one name at the time to call out, and that was JC. And so it took three times for me to call that out. And then I woke up to my son crying. And when I woke up, I was feeling my throat because it felt so real.
Mm.
And so from there, I was like, you know what? I'm not dealing with any more shadow work, any more chakras. I'm all the Most High.
Mm.
And so I ended up in 2021 getting baptized. That was a couple months after I had that dream. And I fell in love with the dreams that I was having and the revelation that the Most High was giving me. And he was showing me that, you know, his word was true.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got to a point where I got tired of being around my in-laws because I didn't feel like I fit in with them either. And so I already knew I didn't fit in with my family. So I was praying and crying out. And I was like, I want friends that I could talk to you about. You know, I was telling the Most High that. And he, you know, let me know that he would send me friends.
Mm.
And so within that same year, I had met Erica. And you know, her and I, we would go to church on Shabbat and stuff. So I had a little bit of knowledge then. And so then, you know, I left from the church because of the darkness that I saw there. And I just kind of separated myself then because I felt like every time I would say something, I was wrong, or they would belittle me. And I was just like, this is not the way. And so I was basically homebound, caring for my daughter, who was bedridden due to her tumor.
Mm.
And Erica sent me a video of just the word. And I watched it, but I didn't care then because I was too deep into my feelings and, you know, grief. I was mourning my daughter before she passed.
Which year did your daughter pass?
Huh?
Which year did your daughter pass?
In 2023.
Okay.
Yes. Mm. And so, after she passed, I, you know, allowed grief, anger, hatred, all the wrong ruachs minister to me and take control of me. And then it got to a point where I was just tired of that.
So what did it make you do?
So it made me be very much so grudgeful and sin. So I became lustful. I became self-centered. I became full of hate for my spouse. I fornicated because I remembered what he did to me. And I was like, I have to hurt him back. So I became very revengeful.
Mm.
And so I didn't like that feeling. And
So you were still in church at the time?
I was, but then I stopped going.
Okay.
Yes. And so then I started watching your channel, and Erica let me know that, you know, at some point y'all were doing like this Zoom group meet.
Yes.
And so I popped in there one day, one evening, and I was listening and I was taking notes, and I'm like, this is the same name that I saw inside of the cookbook. And he's saying the same word that Shalom that was inside of the cookbook.
Mm.
And so I'm like praying and I'm seeking to see if that's the truth. I did my research. And what made me stay with just the word was the fact that when you teach, you showed proof.
Mm.
And I remember in my dreams, every time I would have like a dream that the Most High would give me, I would wake up, pray, and he would show me proof.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay. And then it was one particular day that I was like longing for some land. And I had a dream. I had dozed off, and there was this massive angel standing on this land with a staff. And when I saw it, it was so much peace and love. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stick with Yahuwah. I'm going to stay beside him. And I know he's not going to fail me because that's his promise. And I know he always keeps his word.
Mm.
So I've just been here.
So when did you truly accept that Yahuwah is real and that it's not about you?
So when,
yeah.
So that was in the year of 2024 when I truly accepted that he was real and that was his name. And he is who he said he is.
What caused that?
So what caused that was when I had, I'm trying to remember. So it was this dream that I had, and I was sitting on the couch, and I had the Bible in my hand. I was reading it, and the Most High, or an angel, told me, keep going.
Mm.
Keep going. And so I didn't understand it, but then when I had woke up, I'm like, should I just keep going in this faith? Or because I know the faith that I was trying to go in, it was not working.
Mm.
And so I was just in love with everything that, you know, he would show you and that you would teach and give the understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helped me to understand that the darkness that I was in, there was no understanding.
Mm-hmm.
There was no peace. It was just pure torture. And I was like, you know, there is someone higher than me. And there is...
You finally accepted that.
Yes.
After so many years.
After so long, yes.
Mm.
And so I just was like, you know, I have to stick with someone who loves me from the very beginning, who knows who I am, because, you know, I was seeking mediums and tarot cards and everything else that didn't know me, but just gave me the desire that I wanted, but it was the wrong desire.
So when did you start finding a shalom or peace through the scriptures, through the word? When did you really start digging into the word?
So I started digging into the word in 2024. It was like toward the middle of the year. And so I was praying and having questions, and every time I would have like a question before I went to sleep, I would wake up on Shabbat and you would be teaching about that same question.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, this is where I belong. Mm-hmm. This is basically home. And this is my teacher.
Mm.
And so, well, I actually said pastor, but I meant well.
I know.
And so I was just so excited to be a part of something that made sense. And then as I started to understand, I'm like, you know, I did ask for friends, but in return, the Most High gave me a family, which is what I also wanted.
Yes.
And so I'm trying not to cry. Emotions of a man. Okay. But yes, it was just, I saw so much peace, and I did know and grow to learn that, you know, this is a hard walk.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, it is definitely worth the walk.
Yes.
Because, you know, you have these desires, and if they're negative ones, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
And there was at some point where I had a positive desire when I was serving the Most High, and He fulfilled it out of my obedience to what He showed me in my dream that following night.
Mm-hmm.
So He showed me what to do within serving my in-laws when I had to live with them. And I was like, okay, I don't want to be in their space. I just want to be in my own little space just for a little bit. And so I served them. I was cooking breakfast. I was cooking dinner. Almost to the point where I felt like they got tired of me cooking. And so the Most High, He used my husband's boss to buy us a hotel room for a full week. After I was done serving and doing everything that He showed me to do in my dream.
Wow.
And so that also brought back to my remembrance, if I obey the Most High and do exactly what He tells me to do,
mm-hmm.
and not have any lip or be like, why I gotta do this, He would fulfill the desire of my heart.
Yes.
And so I had to learn that, and to always have a positive conscious mind. And to always obey the Father when He says do something, because trying to do things my way does not work out.
It has not worked out for you. Not one little teeny weeny bit.
Not an ounce.
Not even a little bit. So it brings us to the whole point. The whole duty of man, serve Yahuwah, keep His commandments. Yeah? That's the whole duty of man. And when you are obedient to Him, then He will reward you. We're about a few minutes to go before we go. Is there anything you'd like to tell the people before we wrap it up?
Yes, I just want to say that worshiping your ancestors is not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you tried
doing
that?
Doing shadow work is not good. I did.
Man, is there anything you haven't tried? I should have known. So how did that, by the way, how did that work out?
It didn't work out because when they were describing it, I became a total coward because it's like I'm having to sacrifice things to something that I cannot see in order to get things that I want.
Yes.
So it's I became very cowardly.
So it's all about carnality, going after your desires. Mm-hmm. Yeah, continue. We're saying that it is not good. Go ahead with that.
Yes, and so it's not good because you're something much darker, and in the end, that thing would have full control of you,
mm-hmm.
and it will have the power to torment you. Whenever, you know, you are sentenced to where you're going to go mm-hmm. in the end. And as well as like the crystals, that is a part of the Bible. So I know amethyst is a part of the road that is in the Shamayims in the mm-hmm. heavens. And so I don't recommend touching them or going near them. And I know some people out of ignorance will say, well, that just makes me feel closer to the Most High. But that's not what that is. That is a grave punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just want everyone to find their way to the Most High and to seek the truth.
It's off? This is still showing. I don't know what caused it. Okay. All right. So I want to thank you very, very much for being here with us. I think the last part of it got cut off. Thank you very much for joining us and sharing your story with us, my sister. Hello?
Of course, anytime.
Yes, a very eventful life. But what you have shown is that no matter how much sin we have gone through, Yahuwah always opens a way for us. He's always there waiting with open arms. So no matter what we have gone through, there is hope. All right? So
yes.
Do continue to strive after Yahuwah, to serve Him with your whole heart, all your heart, mind, and soul. Seek Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and move from strength to strength. Do not just let that be knowing Him be enough, but to try to serve Him wholeheartedly with your whole heart so that you can attain unto His kingdom, unto life eternal. All right?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
All right.